Thank you, Keisha. Let's open your Bibles this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 11. We're skipping ahead a little bit in the book of Acts. And I want to preach a message this morning that the Lord has placed on my heart. I give Jerry Vines the credit for the main points of the outline. The message itself is mine, but I wanted to give credit to the outline. Preach this message about 10 years ago, I guess. And preached it in a funeral service and saw 10 people come up to me at the end of the service who had accepted Christ as their Savior. And I want to really just stress what it means to be a Christian. Children have a unique way of putting things, don't they? I read of a child and a father. Dad was very intent on fixing something in the house. He was busy working, and his little boy came up to him, and he had a very important question that deserved a very honest answer. He said, "Dad, how does a person get to heaven?" Well, the dad just nonchalantly told him, "Well, son, only a Christian goes to heaven." Well, you know how it is with children. One question leads into more questions. And so he asked Dad, he says, "Well, Dad, what is a Christian?" And Dad continued to do whatever chore he was working on. He was busy. And so he just began to tell his son what he thought, in the best way that he could put it, what he thought the Bible described as what a Christian was. And then when he got done, he stopped and he looked at his son, and his son was just a very, very perplexed look as he's gazing at his father. He said some very convicting words. He said, "Well, Dad, have I ever seen a Christian?" I'm going to tell you something, that got Dad's attention. And whatever he was doing suddenly didn't matter. It was very convicting. "Dad, have I ever seen a Christian?" Well, what does it mean to be a Christian? I'd like for you to stand, if you would, please, this morning. Acts chapter 11. We're going to read verses 19 down through verse 26. I'll read the odd verses, if you'll help me with the even verses, 19 through 26. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto the Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Our Father in heaven, bless your word. It is delivered this morning. Bless it, God, as I preach. Help me, Lord, to deliver the truths that are found in it. Lord, help us to have a great understanding of what a Christian is. What defines a Christian? What describes a Christian? Help us, Lord, in the time allotted to present your truth found in the Scriptures. If there's one here this morning that doesn't know Christ, may today be the day. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. The children of God are given many titles in the Word of God. Most often, when we read in the New Testament, they're referred to as disciples. On other occasions, Paul refers to us as saints of the Lord, as well as brethren. But the most common term used today originated in the Middle East at a place called Antioch, where the disciples were first called Christians at the end of verse 26. You might be surprised that the term Christian is only used two other times in the Bible. Here in Acts 11, a Christian represents a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, Peter used it to describe someone seeking to glorify God, writing, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." And then later in Acts chapter 26, when Paul stood before King Agrippa and he delivered his testimony, how that he had come to know Christ as Savior, how that he was once a religious individual focusing on what he was doing and keeping the law and keeping good works and coming to a place where Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven. At the end of his testimony, Agrippa stood before Paul and he says, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." With such explicit uses of the word, it's confusing then as to why there's so many different opinions as to what a Christian is. Some people believe that you become a Christian by living a good life. And it's a wonderful thing to live a good life. It's an honorable thing. It's an honorable thing to live a life where a lot of people can't point fingers at the vices that we may have. But living a good life, James, doesn't make you a Christian. Jesus said in Luke chapter 5 and verse 32, he says, "I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Even the Virgin Mary testified that she needed a Savior. In Luke 2 and verses 46 and 47, where it says, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." There are others who believe that you become a Christian by your heritage. It's a wonderful thing to come from a Christian heritage. I believe, Shane, that every child should grow up in a loving, God-fearing Christian home. I believe every child should be taught the Word of God from a young age. But even if they're blessed with that kind of upbringing, it doesn't make them a Christian. Some believe that you become a Christian through church membership. If I become a part of the church, well, then that signifies that I'm a believer. Billy Sunday once said, "Being a church member doesn't make you any more of a Christian than being in a garage makes you an automobile." Just because you associate with that particular group of people doesn't mean that you are on your way to heaven. I'm a Baptist, and I praise God that I'm a Baptist. But being a Baptist will not make me a Christian. There are others who believe that you become a Christian through baptism. I think one of the most glorious events that takes place in the life of an individual is when the believers are out here and we watch someone publicly profess Jesus Christ as their Savior. and that they publicly say, I want to identify, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And as a result of that, I come before the church body. I come and identify with Jesus Christ. And we see them immersed in the likeness of His death and raised again to walk in newness of life. That's the reason a person gets baptized, praise the Lord. But there are many who have baptized their infants. There are many who say you're not saved if you're not baptized. Baptism, as great as it is, doesn't get someone to heaven. As one old country preacher once put it, you can get baptized so many times that you know every old frog in the mill pond. But you're not a Christian unless Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. So what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, I'm going to tell you this morning, to be a Christian means you're saved. I praise the Lord that I've been saved for 39 years now. And one of the greatest blessings of my life is seeing our four boys at different times come into our bedroom at night and choose for themselves to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I remember in Garrett's case, he was the first to get saved, 8 years old. I remember that day well. I remember we were, I'd received some mail, and I don't remember where it came from, but it had a gospel track in it. And it said, "Do you know you're going to heaven when you die?" And I had sat that down as at the dinner table, and we had dinner at the table that night, and Garrett had seen it. And he read it, and he says, "What's this?" And I said, "Well, it's a gospel track. It tells people how to go to heaven." As he's walking away, I said, "Do you know if you're going to heaven?" And man, he thought about that all afternoon. And in the evening, until late at night, when it was past bedtime, he'd come into our room and began to talk to us and accept Jesus. That's a great thing. You know, I've been surprised over the years that even a lot of church-going people are confused when I use the word saved. What does it mean to be saved? I remember talking to a lady who was a Roman Catholic, and I asked her, "So are you saved?" And she thought I was talking about the day of her confirmation. I said, "No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, do you know the day, and have you had a time where you were saved from your sin and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior?" A lot of people, brother, are scared of the word saved, because it's a powerful word. And it's not a Baptist word, it's a Bible word. Describes what takes place in a person's life when he repents of sin and comes to Christ. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, when the Lord instituted the local New Testament church, the Bible says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In Acts 4 and verse number 12, speaking of Jesus Christ, Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." When Paul was approached by the Philippian jailer, who came running at Paul and Silas' feet and asked the wonderful question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Paul said in 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." In other words, a Christian is someone who has been rescued or delivered from something. So before a person can become saved, they must realize what they need to be saved from. And Heather, what every individual must realize, they must realize that they are a sinner. And because we're a sinner, Romans 3 verse 23, Matthew says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Because all have sinned. All of us fall short. And the reason why we get sick, the reason why there's death, the reason that we have to lock our doors at night, the reason we have fears is because of not only our sin, but there's sin that runs rampant throughout the world. This world isn't filled with the glory of God, but heaven is. And as a sinner, I cannot enter into the presence of God. I fall short of that. I remember at the end of a service one Sunday morning, standing over right over there with a young man who had come to the altar. And he came to me and he wanted some counsel. Happened to be standing over that side that morning. And I remember putting my arm around him. And he was talking about some things in his life. And I turned him around and I faced to all of you, if you were present that Sunday morning. I said, you see all of these people in here? All of these people have one thing in common. They are sinners who fell short of God. You're no different, and they're no different than you. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20, Solomon wrote, for there is not a just man upon earth who doeth good and sinneth not. Every individual has to realize that they need salvation from something. And that is themselves. Every person's a sinner. No one is going to do well enough, Don, to get to heaven. No one can compare themselves, Josh. No one can compare themselves to you and say, well, I'm better than Josh Anders. I believe if Josh is going to heaven, and if he believes he's going to heaven, then surely I'm going to heaven. No one can say that. If you want to compare yourself to anyone, Jeff, you know who you got to compare yourself to? You got to compare yourself to one who died without sin. Upon a cross, so that this world could be saved. And He did it with such love that He shed His blood upon a rugged cross for anyone who would receive Him. And every person who rejects Him doesn't mean that Christ didn't die for them. He died for them too. They just chose to reject the wonderful gift that He offered. If we're saved from something, we got to realize we're saved by something. There are two basic ideas in the world today about eternal salvation. The majority are those who believe you're saved by what you're able to do. Different religions. It's based upon what you do in this life that determines your eternity or whatever name they want to put on it. And there are those that believe you're saved by what Jesus Christ has already done. The world famous evangelist D.L. Moody was on a train, and he happened to be with a Mormon missionary. And throughout that train ride, they had nowhere to go. And the Mormon missionary did everything he could to convince him, this world famous evangelist, to convince him to choose his form of religion. And finally, by the end, D.L. Moody came up with a conclusion. He said, sir, after our conversation today, I've discovered that without what separates what you believe about getting to heaven and what I believe comes down to two very simple letters. Your religion is D-O, do. But my belief in getting to heaven can be defined in four letters. D-O, N-E, done. Our faith is in what Christ has done. We're saved by grace through faith. Before a person can be saved, they must realize that because they are a sinner, they're undeserving. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, Paul writes the well-known words, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by unmerited favor that we're saved. And it's not by grace that we're saved. and then do something. It's through faith in what Jesus Christ has already done. Faith has been described as forsaking all, I take Him. When a person lets go of every attempt to save himself and forsaking all, he takes the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. The Bible says he's saved. That is what a Christian is. Joseph, a Christian is not only somebody who's saved, but it's somebody who is sure. He's sure he's saved. How can a person be sure that they're saved? Can you imagine this morning knocking on doors? Brent, you're knocking on somebody's door and you come across the Apostle Peter. Peter's standing at the door. Can you imagine saying to Peter, Peter, do you know for sure whether or not you're a Christian? Do you know 100% that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? And Peter's saying, well, you know what? I sure hope so. I'm doing the very best, you know. I'm not positive. I'm not positive, but I think I may go, Josh. I don't think you'll hear those words out of the Apostle Peter. Turn your Bible with me to 1 Peter chapter number 1. It was Peter who wrote in 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Those who followed Christ didn't believe in a hope-so salvation. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes in verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. How can you have a place in heaven reserved for you? Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith and a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter believed you could have a place in heaven, undefiled, incorruptible, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven because God Himself keeps the reservation. Amen? God keeps the reservation. He takes care of it. I can't imagine going door knocking and coming to the home of the Apostle John. John, do you know 100% sure if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven? I can't imagine John saying, well, I don't know if anyone can know for sure, really. I've given it my very best. I hope that that is enough. I walked with Jesus. I leaned upon Jesus. I hope that the things that I've done is enough that He'll accept me. Turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 5. You're in 1 Peter. Just go a couple chapters to your right. 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John chapter 5. In verse number 12, John said, He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Aren't you glad, Darren, you can know? He said, I wrote these things. Listen, Sawyer. He says, I wrote these things. I wrote this particular epistle. When he wrote the Gospel of John, he wrote to testify of the works of Christ that he was the Son of God. And he wrote so that you would believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so John is saying, listen, I've wrote these things so that if you have trusted in Christ, you can have life and that you can know that you have eternal life. And that it believe in the name of Son of God that you can know you have eternal life. And that as you go through this life, you can continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Every day, he knew. Could you imagine Christian knocking on the Apostle Paul's door? Paul, I'm Ricky Clemens. I'm from Somerville Baptist Church. I just want to ask you if Jesus were to come today, do you know for certain that you would spend eternity with Him? I can't imagine that Paul would say, well, the only thing I know for sure is that he spoke to me on the Damascus Road and is that I've tried to do my very best ever since then. And whether or not that outweighs my many sins, I'll just have to hope for the best and wait and see. But if you'll look in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, if you'll look there with me in verse number 12, and you can underline this passage of Scripture as well. Paul says, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Are you persuaded? I didn't get many amens there. I can't hear a lick. If y'all knew how loud I was preaching to myself right now, just put your fingers in your ears and talk. Are you persuaded? Put a smile on your face. Because the Christian, what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, it means a Christian is saved from his sins. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means that a Christian is sure he's going to heaven. That ought to make us thankful and joyful. That ought to get us excited a little bit. Amen? And the thing is, Baker, is this. There is a lot of religious people in this world, and there could be some people in here this morning who think that they are okay. Nobody is okay unless you're in Jesus Christ. Everybody falls short. And the only way we get there is because He came to us and He was able to get us there. And He keeps us there. If God loves me enough to do that, David, if God loves me enough to do that, then He deserves the very best I can give Him in my life. A Christian is saved. A Christian is sure. And thirdly, to be a Christian is to be separated. The purpose of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer is to make Jesus Christ preeminent. And the more filled you become with the Spirit of God, the more like Jesus you will be. And as a result of that, when the world looks at you, just like the world at Antioch looked at those believers, they looked at them, and as far as we know, scripturally, anyways, the world had never used the term Christian before. But when the world looked at those followers, they said, "Those people are Christians. Those people remind me of Jesus Christ." Whether or not, Cecil, they believed in Jesus, whether they liked Him, whether they wanted Him crucified or wanted nothing to do with Him, they could recognize this. Those people remind me of Jesus. First John 2 verse 15, the problem with too many of us is that we want the best of both worlds. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, John wrote. Now God sent Moses in the Old Testament to bring Israel out of the bondage of Egypt and bring them into the land of promise. There's a negative there. He brought them out in order that He could do something positive to bring them in. And Jesus was sent to die upon Calvary's cross that He might bring us out of the bondage of this sinful world and bring us into a life of joy and peace. For that reason, there's a distinct separation in the old lost sinner and the new child of God. To be separated means that you live in the will of God. A lot of times we focus our separation on what we don't do. We don't drink, we don't cuss, we don't smoke. We look at those things, and all that's good, but that's not the most important. You know what you get rewarded for in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ? Stephen, you don't get rewarded for what you didn't do. Here's the reason. Here's the reason, Eddie. Because there's no reason for a Christian to drink. There's no reason for a Christian to be cussing. There's no reason for a child of God who is filled with, whose body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, to have corrupt communication come out of his mouth. There's no reason. There's no reason for a child of God to be telling dirty jokes. Well, I don't do those things. Well, good. You shouldn't be. Are you with me? This is what you get rewarded for in heaven. What you do in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, I presented the gospel to my neighbor. Praise the Lord for it. Maybe you planted a seed. Maybe they don't come to know Christ. Maybe they did accept Christ. You give to missions. Help some missionary to stay on the field. You upped your missions this year. When another missionary, when one of the missionaries who support another church dropped their support. And we can increase it. A child of God, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that he's separated. He doesn't look like a lost and dying world. But too many of us, we want to live in both worlds. We want the blessing of Christ, but we want the fellowship with the world. A Christian is a separated individual. And lastly, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that he's satisfied. Don't ever let someone tell you that salvation is Jesus plus something. We ought to be 100% satisfied that Jesus is all we need. I agree with a little boy who's trying to quote the first verse of Psalm 23 said, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." Amen? We ought to be satisfied he can meet our material need. Whatever the need is, God can meet it. We're going to pray it. We're going to ask. We're going to see him. See him do wonders. Psalm 37, verse 25 says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed bearing bread. Well, to be satisfied, God can take care of our emotional needs, and there are many. We're living in a world today where we battle and we push all day long. And it never seems easy because there's always friction. And the tension and pace of everyday life cause many to live under high levels of stress and anxiety. But I remind you and myself this morning that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We ought to be satisfied that God can take care of our social needs. Sometimes we've got to walk away from relationships. Sometimes we got to tell friends, listen, if that's what you want to do, you go do it, but not me. We got to be satisfied that the Lord can take care of our future needs. If he can take care of heaven, I think he can take care of tomorrow. We put our faith in him. So ask us a question this morning in closing. Are you satisfied in Jesus Christ? We sing about it. We sing about how great he is. May the world see in us a satisfaction, not because of something that our flesh fulfilled, but because of something that God put in our heart. To be a Christian means to be saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for your sins. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you're watching live stream this morning, or sometime later this afternoon, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? This life will soon pass. Make sure you know Jesus Christ to be your Lord. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and trust Him. To be a Christian means to be sure of that salvation because all your trust is on what Jesus did at Calvary, not anything that we deserve. To be a Christian means to be separated. That means our interest is no longer in the things of this world, but in the things of God. Amen? It's more exciting to be a Christian than seeing the Atlanta Braves win the World Championship, ain't it, Miss Joyce? It's more exciting than a 4-overtime football game. Aren't you glad that as anxious as we get to pulling for our favorite football team, we don't have to get anxious in what the Lord has done for us and what the Lord wants to do for us? So let's bow our heads this morning.